Krishna Book, Canto 12, Rukmini, Chapter 60, Scene 2, Krishna Talks Crazy. Krishna had experienced that when Rukmini was offered a Parijata flower by Narada Muni, Satyabhama had become envious of her co-wife and had immediately demanded a similar flower from Krishna. In fact, Satyabhama could not be pacified until she was promised the whole tree, and that was actually done by Krishna. The tree was brought down to the earth planet from the heavenly kingdom. After this episode, Krishna expected that because Satyabhama had been rewarded by a full tree of Parijata, Rukmini would also demand something. However, Rukmini did not mention anything of the incident, for she was grave and simply satisfied in her service to her husband. Krishna wanted to see Rukmini a bit irritated, and therefore Krishna schemed in order to see the beautiful face of Rukmini in an irritated condition. Although Krishna had more than 16,100 wives, Krishna used to behave with each of them with familial affection. Krishna would create a particular situation between himself and his wife in which the wife would criticize Krishna in the irritation of love, and Krishna would enjoy this. But in this case, because Krishna could not find any fault with Rukmini, for she was very great and always engaged in his service, Krishna, in great love, smilingly began to speak to Rukmini. Rukmini was the daughter of King Bhishmaka, a powerful king, and thus Krishna did not address her as Rukmini. Krishna instead addressed Rukmini, this time as the princess. "My dear princess, it is very surprising. Many great personalities in the royal order wanted to marry you. Although not all of them were kings, all of them possessed the opulence and riches of the kingly order. They were well-behaved, learned, famous among kings, beautiful in their bodily features and personal qualifications. They were liberal, very powerful in strength, and advanced in every respect. They were not unfit in any way. And over and above that, your father and your brother had no objection to such marriages. Why, on the contrary, they gave their word of honor that you would be married with Shishupal, and the marriage was sanctioned by your parents. Shishupal was a great king and was so lusty and mad after your beauty that if he had married you, why, I think he would have always remained with you just like your faithful servant. In comparison to Shishupala, with his personal qualities, I am nothing, and you may personally realize it. I am surprised that you rejected the marriage with Shishupala and accepted me, who am inferior in comparison to Shishupala. I think myself completely unfit to be your husband, because you are so beautiful, sober, grave, and exalted. May I inquire from you the reason that induced you to accept me? Now, of course, I can address you as my beautiful wife, but still, I may inform you of my actual position, that I am inferior to all those princes who wanted to marry you. First of all, you may know that I was so much afraid of Jarasandha that I could not dare to live on the land, and thus I have constructed this house within the water of the sea. It is not my business to disclose the secret to others, but you must know that I am not very heroic. I am a coward, and I am afraid of them. And still, I am not safe, because all the great kings of the land are inimical to me. I have personally created this inimical feeling by fighting with them in many ways. And another fault is that although I am on the throne of Dwaraka, I have no immediate claim. Although I got a kingdom by killing my maternal uncle, Kamsa, the kingdom was to go to my grandfather. So actually, I have no possession of a kingdom. Besides that, I have no fixed aim in life. People cannot understand me very well. What is the ultimate goal of my life? They know very well that I was a cowherder boy in Vrindavan, and people expected that I would follow the footsteps of my foster father, Nanda Maharaj, and be faithful to Srimati Radharani and all her friends in the village of Vrindavan. But all of a sudden, I left them all. I wanted to become a famous prince. Still, I could not have any kingdom, nor could I rule as a prince. So people are bewildered about my ultimate goal of life. They do not know whether I am a cowherder boy or a prince, whether I am the son of Nanda Maharaj or the son of Vasudeva. Because I have no fixed aim in life, people may call me a vagabond. Therefore, I am surprised that you could select such a vagabond husband. Besides this, I am not very much polished, even in social etiquette. A person should be satisfied with one wife, but as you see, I have married many times, and I have more than 16,000 wives. And I cannot please all of them as a polished husband, because my behavior with them is not very nice. And I also know you are very much conscious of this. I sometimes create a situation with my wives, which is not very happy. Because I was trained in a village in my childhood, I am not well acquainted with the etiquette of urban life. I do not know the way to please a wife with nice words and behavior. And from practical experience, it is found that any woman who follows my way or becomes attracted by me is ultimately left to cry for the rest of her life. In Vrindavan, many gopis were attracted to me, and now I have left them. And they are living, but are simply crying for me in separation. I have heard from both Akrura and Uddhava that since I have left Vrindavan, all my cowherder boyfriends, the gopis, and Radharani, as well as my foster father Nanda Maharaj, are simply crying constantly for me. I have left Vrindavan for good, and I am now engaged with the queens in Dwaraka. But I am not well behaved with any of you. So you can very easily understand that I have no steadiness of character. I am not a very reliable husband. The net result of being attracted to me is to acquire a life of bereavement only. My dear beautiful princess, you may also know that I am always penniless. Just after my birth, I was carried away penniless to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and I was raised just like a cowherder boy. Although my foster father possessed many hundreds of thousands of cows, I was not the proprietor of even one of them. I was simply entrusted to take care of them and tender them. But I was not the proprietor. And here also, I am not proprietor of anything, but I am always penniless. But there is no cause to lament for such a penniless condition, for I possess nothing in the past, so why should I lament that I do not possess anything at present? You may note also that my devotees are not very opulent persons. They also are very poor in worldly goods. Those who are very rich, possessing worldly wealth, are not interested in devotion to me or Krishna consciousness. On the contrary, when a person becomes penniless, whether by force or by circumstances, one may become interested in me if he or she gets the proper opportunity. But persons who are proud of their riches, even if they are offered association with my devotees, do not take advantage of consciousness of me. In other words, the poorer class of men may have some interest in me, but the richer class of men have no interest. Therefore, I think that your selection of me was not very intelligent. You appear to be very intelligent, having been trained by your father and brother, but ultimately, you have made a great mistake in selecting your life's companion. But there is no harm. It is better late than never. You are at liberty to select a suitable husband who is actually an equal to you in opulence, family tradition, wealth, beauty, education, in all respects. Whatever mistakes you may have made may be now forgotten. You may chalk out your own lucrative path of life. Usually, a person does not establish a marital relationship with a person who is either higher or lower than one's own position. My dear daughter of the King of Vidarbha, I think you did not consider very sagaciously before your marriage. Thus you made a wrong selection by choosing me as your husband. You mistakenly heard about my having a very exalted character, although factually I was nothing more than a beggar. Without seeing me and my actual position, and simply by hearing about me, you selected me as your husband. That was not very rightly done. Therefore, I advise you that it is better late than never, for you can now select one of the great Kshatriya princes and accept him as your life's companion, and you can reject me. Krishna was proposing that Rukmini divorce him at a time when Rukmini already had many grown-up children. Therefore, Krishna's whole proposition to Rukmini appeared to be something unexpected because, according to Vedic culture, there was no such thing as separation of husband and wife by divorce. Nor was it possible for Rukmini to do so in such an advanced age when she had many married sons. Each and every one of Krishna's proposals appeared to Rukmini to be crazy, and she was surprised that Krishna could speak such things. Simple as she was, her anxiety was increasing more and more just at the thought of separation from Krishna. After all, you have to prepare yourself for your next life. I therefore advise you that you select someone who can help you both in this life and in the next life, for I am completely unable to help you. My dear, beautiful princess, you know that all the members of the princely order including Shishupal, Shalva, Jarasandha, Dantavakra, and even your elder brother Rukmi, are all my enemies. They do not like me at all. They hate me from the core of their hearts. All these princes were very much puffed up with their worldly possessions, and they did not care a fig for anyone who came before them. So in order to teach them some lessons, I agreed to kidnap you according to your desire. Otherwise, I actually have no love for you, although you loved me even before our marriage. As I have already explained, I am not very much interested in family life or love between husband and wife, for by nature, I am not very fond of family life, wife, children, home, and opulences. As my devotees are always neglectful of all these worldly possessions, I am also like that. Actually, I am interested in self-realization. That gives me pleasure, and not this family life. Thus ends chapter 60, scene 2. Krishna talks crazy. All glories to Krishna book. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jamuna tatachara gopi vasanahara. Jamuna tatachara gopi vasanahara. Rasa rasika kripa moya. Rasa rasika kripa moya. Shri Radha Vallabha Vrindavanatabara. Shri Radha Vallabha Vrindavanatabara. Vakati Vinod Ashraya Amala Harinam Amiya Vilasa. Amala Harinam Amiya Vilasa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.